This week on the show, we're discussing all the winners from the Game Awards, all of the announcements too, and whether or not our predictions came correct. Spoiler alert, not a lot of them did, but we'll get to that. I'm your host, Ewan, and I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
And Brody.
Hello.
And this is the Press Start Podcast, our weekly video game discussion podcast. Let's get on with the show. All right, kicking things off, I'm eager to kind of put the focus on the winners from the Game Awards, because it's often the case that they have to take a bit of a back seat during the show that otherwise favors announcements. Clair Obscur won big, taking home Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Art Direction, Best Score and Music, Best Performance for Jennifer English, Best RPG, Best Independent Game, Best Debut Indie Game, and of course, Game of the Year. That's 9 in total by my count, which was a pretty phenomenal performance. What was that, sorry?
I think it's 9 from 10 categories.
I think they won pretty much everything they were kind of nominated for. Was it just the 10th that they weren't? I'm not sure which one that was.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they missed, but...
Yeah, that has to be kind of a record-breaking haul, I'd have thought. I don't think they made much of a feature of that, but I can't remember a game getting quite as many of that in one fell swoop. Anyhow, Hades 2 also won Best Action, Hollow Knight Silksong, Best Action Adventure, Donkey Kong Bonanza, Best Family Game, and Mario Kart World, Best Sports Racing Game, to shout out a few others that have been part of the conversation this year. James, first to you, did you think all the deserving games kind of got a look in, or were there some snubs?
I think everything was okay, like in terms of everything getting a look in. I have already spoken before about Best Performance. I feel like there was a lot of snubs from other games that I think could have made it in, compared to the 4
in terms of the nomination list, or in terms of the
just in terms of nomination. Oh, in terms of winner, like I think I think I said to you guys when we were watching it, like that is, I think that was deserved. I think Jennifer English was definitely the best performance in that game in Clair Obscur, 100%. I was more referring to the nomination list overall.
She was Mael, right? Just to clarify.
I think overall, I mean, obviously, people really, really, really liked Clair Obscur. It really resonated with them more than anything else this year. That's what people felt. I personally, like, obviously didn't pick Clair Obscur for every single award. But I can see why how people would get to that point. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think for stuff like Best Narrative, Best Game Direction, I think it was like pretty kind of clear cut. I mean, maybe you could argue around Game Direction, but just how cohesive the game was and the way the art and the score and the storytelling just like all really complemented each other. I thought it was very deserving for that.
The art direction thing is a little bit controversial, especially like today I've been reading a lot and I probably shouldn't be. I do understand because it does feel like a UE5 game in like a lot of ways, right? Like Unreal Engine 5. And I do feel like a lot of the worlds, like, sure, they're colorful and there's like a lot of, I mean, the underwater world in that game is incredible, right? I think, but then overall, I don't know, like, I feel like there are definitely a lot of other games that had a better art design. I mean, art design and art direction are two different things, I guess. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think like the key elements of the game were like just very distinctive. And it just had lots of like very kind of striking imagery and,
a good game and stuff. Like, I'm not saying it's not a good game. It just feels like it's quickly becoming the Last of Us of RPGs, where it's like it just pulls all this shit together from all these other games. And like, that's not a bad thing either. But
Interesting you mentioned The Last of Us, because I just fact-checked myself. This was a new record, the 9, and it outdid The Last of Us Part 2, which won 7 at the 2020 Game Awards. Brody, what about yourself? What did you make of the winners? Was there anything you're pleased to kind of see win what it did? Anything you felt missed out?
No, look, I was pretty happy across the board. Like, as someone who's like not a massive Hollow Knight guy, like I might have liked to see, Death Stranding get maybe its category, but at the end of the day, I can't be upset with that. The category that Expedition 33 Lost was audio designed to Battlefield, which I think you've played that and you'd probably kind of understand that because Battlefield is usually industry leading in that sort of field. But yeah, look, Donkey Kong Bonanza is best family. That's probably about right. So look, I don't think any of the winners are necessarily bad. Obviously, good to see a game like Expedition 33, which, you know, it's been talked about this week that it was, the budget was like under $10 million or something like that. So I think that in itself is, I don't know, it's a cool thing at the very least. I don't know if it's necessarily relevant, but it's, yeah, proof that smaller scoped games, I guess, can have a very big lasting impact.
Yeah, and for a debut indie game as well, like, I think it's very, very impressive.
Awesome.
I was pleased to see Hollow Knight Silksong get Best Action Adventure. Like, I think you're right. It's a shame Death Stranding 2's come away with nothing, given that was one of my favorite games of the year. But yeah, I mean, Hollow Knight Silksong, I've loved. Brody, you know how high up my personal list of rankings it was. So, I'm really pleased to see that get some attention, and obviously the Australian connection as well. Pleased for them. And Hades too, I think, getting best action as well. Like, it was probably a game that was right up there in terms of game of the year contention. So I'd have been disappointed to see it not have won anything. But yeah, getting best action, I think, very deserving. James, I know we spoke about it at the time, but Battlefield 6, like, one of my favorite games this year, and I'm pleased to see it get something, even if it was like audio design, which I guess like isn't necessarily the most heavy hitting of awards, not to diminish audio design at all, but I think it really was like fantastic in that regard. Like, just maybe it's the same thing we say every time a Battlefield game rolls around, but the amount that it has to mix in the world in terms of like sources of audio and the way that it falls off and you hear the bullets ricochet and stuff, I thought was really quite amazing. And the fact there are different like mix settings in the game as well, so that you as a player can kind of customize that mix to your liking, I thought was very cool. Did you feel something else maybe deserved audio design though?
Silent Hill.
Silent Hill was just... I would like to have seen... That's probably one game I think I would love to have seen get some kind of record. I mean, I know it got nominated, which is great, but Silent Hill F, I know... even the plot for that game, I think that's just such an incredible plot and there's so many layers to it, but I think the way it was presented was always going to kind of fuck it up because you have to finish it multiple times to kind of get the full breadth of the story, right? So yeah, like I think for sound design, Silent Hill is far and away like that game just does so much with sound. Like, sure, like it's not mixing in as many say noises or whatever. It like say in the same way. I guess this is two different ways that sound design can be recognized, right? I look at it more from the perspective of not the technical side of it, more the artistic side and the way that the sound is used to kind of create this like dread and fear. That is.
I think both are valid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying the other isn't. But yeah, I just really like Silent Hill F.
Yeah. Again, I'm still yet to get to. I was going to ask you about something else, and it's slipped my mind now. Split Fiction, I think not getting an award was interesting.
I feel like the game has fizzled. I said this during when we were watching it. Don't you feel like it fizzled out a bit? Like, people just weren't talking about it.
Do you think it's like
much?
A recency thing? It just came out so early in the year. People have just kind of forgotten about it over time. Or, I mean, I guess Clair Obscur also came out early in the year.
Like
so
April. So, that yeah, I don't think that's true. But I do think maybe, like, I don't want to diminish how, like, Split Fiction was good. But I do think maybe that it's not new anymore. When you look at, say, A Way Out, It Takes Two, and Split Fiction, like, yes, sure, the setting and the story is different for those games, and they definitely do a lot different, but I think the novelty of the co-op only variety fest is wearing off now, and I think it's resonating less with people.
Yeah, and for as good as it is, I don't think anyone came away from it saying that was a better experience than It Takes Two. Like, I think it was either kind of on par or maybe just a step below. I mean, both like fantastic games, but there's something about like Hazelight's storytelling that just doesn't really gel with me terribly much. It just feels a little forced. Authorial intent is kind of hitting you over the head a little too heavy.
I also think like with Split Fiction, I did feel like they didn't, I didn't feel progression from It Takes Two in terms of the storytelling and the characters and such. And I do think that that is somewhere that they could still probably improve on. And I do think that might be reflected in the nominations and the winners. So
it's come back to what else I was going to ask you. Ark Raiders, were you pleased to see that get best multiplayer?
Yes.
We still need to find the time to play that together.
Yeah. Good. I think it's something a little bit slightly different to everything else. I do admit that the concept has worn thin on me already again. Like, I don't fall into these games super deep. But what I did play was really fun. And again, another game where sound design was also quite a cool part of it. I don't think that got nominated, but yeah, like really, really solid game. I hope it has legs, the legs that it deserves, I should say.
Well, congratulations to all the winners and to those that missed out as well. I mean, there was just like a pretty stacked list of nominees this year. It's been a phenomenal year. I was really sort of, it was tough, like looking at this list of nominees as to who was the clear standout. But I think all the games that won were pretty deserving. What did you make of the show in general and the way that it sort of played out this year? Obviously, it's quite long. We made that comment while we were watching it, James. Did you think it was okay paced, though? Were you happy with the sort of announcements you got and where they were placed?
Yeah, like overall, I think it was all right. I don't think we're ever going to get a show where there's like just it's full of things that are always for me, right?
Like, blows you away.
But I do think this one felt much better paced, and I feel like there was a lot of like less shit. Like, I feel like normally there is like a lot of rapid fire, like usually free to play mobile game. Yeah, like the Hoyoverse stuff was still there, but that, I mean, I understand why that's there. Like, they obviously bring in a lot of money, but. It, more just in terms of, I feel like the pacing was a lot better there, but then towards the middle it did start to drag again, and then we got like three massive announcements straight away after that. So like it was still a little bit all over the shop. I do feel he gave more. I don't know if I need to confirm this, but I feel like there was more time given to the awards, which I appreciated.
I think that people that were allowed to kind of speak, they were afforded the time that they needed, which was good. I don't know how they managed that differently, but it didn't feel like anyone was cut off or rushed or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that was good as somebody who was covering it to catch up. But I feel like a lot more like space to catch up on covering stuff this time, and that doesn't normally happen. So
yeah, they do tend to do like these fits and bursts of like a bunch of big announcements all like together, and it's like I think you could kind of spread those out. Like if you've got kind of 10 world premieres, whatever, have one every 5 to 10 minutes, like kind of just spread them out a little bit, but it tends to kind of be a bit more structured, and it's like, okay, announcement times and then bunch of awards and announcement time again. I don't know. I feel like they could vary that up a little bit, but it is almost structured a little bit in more like a traditional awards ceremony, and where you've kind of got a flurry of stuff and then a TV break, like a commercial break, that kind of thing. Get a better sense of that this year than I reckon I have in previous years. I am conscious about time though, because James, you've got a hard out, so we better crack on with
We've got till like 9 o'clock your time, so that's.
Oh really? Oh okay. Yeah, so we do have.
Sorry, that was a new development.
Even still, in the interests of moving the show along, that's good to know. Though we could maybe spend more time talking about Resident Evil 9 than I otherwise had bargained for. Let's cover off our predictions first, though. If you recall, a week or two ago, we all kind of put in what we thought might happen during the Game Awards. We discussed them here on the show. I kept a list. So just as a quick recap, here's what we predicted. Shannon, God of War side-scrolling game revealed. Bomb, bomb. Did not happen. GTA 5 or 6 announced for the Nintendo Switch 2. Also no-go. And Max Payne remake combined release date revealed. Also no
duck
luck
egg
there.
For Shannon. Big duck egg.
Well, big duck
know,
egg.
Now we know why he's not here. It's all up. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm showing up, but I got no points either. Death Stranding 2 coming to PC out tomorrow. Did not happen. Marathon re-revealed with a test period announced. Nope. No sign of that here. And Hollow Knight Silksong DLC, my big, bold prediction. Other than it receiving its award, I don't think there was any mention about Hollow Knight Silksong. Although, great appearance in the medleys as well. So nothing for me. Brody, can you remember what you predicted?
Half-Life 3, which didn't show up as far as I'm aware.
There was a moment, though. There was moment
we thought we were... Mega Man, fuck off. Anyway.
No. We were talking about the forest. No. When...
Mega Man, I'm sorry. It's giving Mighty Number 9. I'm sorry.
that is the now, most...
That we'll salacious that. Thing I've ever
cold
seen, possibly.
Hold.
And then I also had Judas release date, which did not occur, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah,
I
that surprised that
would,
me.
That would
yeah.
have that would have been my lock, otherwise I thought. But yeah. I did get one with Control 2 showing up, I believe.
You did. Control yeah. We're going to get to that in a moment and talk more about that trailer. James, in reverse order for you, Exodus making appearance. That it sure enough did. Did you like what you saw of Exodus?
Yeah,
you know where I'm going, James.
About to point out.
Are we
going
to address the elephant in the room that apparently this was
already this
was
already known? But I didn't know that. Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
I personally did not know that. But
well, maybe that makes it all null and void. All of his predictions.
Okay. I actually didn't like. Are we going to talk about that, or do you want to get through my other predictions first?
Let's just move on.
We can talk about Exodus now.
Oh, sure.
I don't know about it. Do you like? It looks a bit like toy-like. I know that's maybe the intention because it's like a Hasbro game technically. But
do you mean the presentation? It's like
the art style is not what I remember it looking like. I remember it looking like Mass Effect, whereas this more looks like I don't know, like plasticky. It's not a bad thing. I'm excited for it, but like it's so fucking far away now. Like I don't know. It's like diminished my excitement.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, like one of the writers of Mass Effect is working on it, right? I think there's some connection like that.
There is some connection. I'm just double check.
Assuming I'm remembering that correctly, I think that excites me. Just correct. The fact that it's kind of got
some developers and writers. So
yeah, okay, cool. Yep. I think that is a sign that it can turn out quite well. And I'm a little bit forgiving of its kind of presentation, I suppose. And who knows where that might evolve in the time that it's still got coming. So yeah, I'm still optimistic for it. It was far from the game that excited me most, I guess, in the lineup today, though. To cover off some of your other predictions about James, you did pretty well here. A new Tomb Raider that we sure did get, mm-hmm. And not the only Tomb Raider announcement. We'll get to more on that in a mo. Mm-hmm. And Leon shown for RE9. Now, mm-hmm. I do need to ask you, did you jump onto the PlayStation Store early and see the the accidental album art that they... they uploaded there.
I mean, obviously I saw that, but that was after the recording.
After the episode. Get to pass on that one. Get to pass.
Yeah. So there was no collusion there.
Look, all said and done, prediction-wise, I think, James, you did win there. And then Brody, a close-ish second. And Shannon and myself bringing up the rear. One of these days I'll get the predictions right, but it was not this year. Look, let's get stuck into the announcements that now though, because we've been dancing around them long enough. And I want to start with where you're perhaps most excited, James, and that's Leon being confirmed for Resident Evil 9, as it was earlier leaked in the week. What did you make of the trailer, his sort of reveal, and what does it mean for the game, do you think?
Cool trailer. I think it would have hit. I mean, even though we kind of knew there was like a lot of like talk about this, right? I think it would have been still really cool if it didn't leak through that PlayStation Store listing. It still feels like we don't know anything about RE9 though. Like, I feel like there is so little out there just in terms of like pure gameplay. I reckon there's less than 10 minutes of gameplay like being shown. I mean, obviously you can see people's playthroughs and stuff, but I think there's like not a lot of actual gameplay being shown. And I think I'm intrigued by like the idea that because that's very short clips they showed of Leon, a lot of action in those shots. So I kind of really hope they've kind of insinuated they will, but I really hope they mean it when they're talking about balancing the action with the horror. And then
Jeff Keighley, I think, expanded on that. He said that kind of Grace's moments were going to be a more traditional sort of survival horror. And then the Leon segments would be like kind of more all out action.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good mix.
I think that's fine. I just worry. I think the dream of me getting another game that's like RE7 is probably dead. Like the super scary for, you know, 3/4 of the game. I don't think that's going to happen here. I would love to be wrong.
I think you'll get moments like that, but
I'm sure I will.
In the same way that RE8
Village had kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw the car that Leon drives is a Porsche, and the way that so it's like a proper like collab with Porsche, but yeah,
they're also doing that with Intergalactic, aren't they? Porsche getting all the integrated content. Yeah.
The way that they've talked about the car makes me think maybe that there is some element of you're driving around a city and you're actually driving it. Like I feel like there is an element of the gameplay that's going to be different to other Rezzies in that way.
Yeah.
But we just don't know. Like, there's just so little that we know about this game still, and it's out in less than 2 months. Like, I think it's just hectic.
And am I wrong in thinking that, like, we'd seen, like, renders of Leon, and he was, like, older? Like, he looks quite young in this trailer, I thought.
Everything was AI up until this point.
So he's not grizzly old Leon, it seems.
I mean, he is. He looks older, but he's not graying or anything like that.
Yeah.
So,
or beardy, and, yeah.
He looks quite fresh, I thought.
Fresh, yeah, I guess.
He's got a good skincare routine, you know? Absolutely. Like, he's looking and after himself.
Obviously lived a stress-free life. So, I'm still keen. I'm a little bit like, I don't know if this, him running around the hospital with the chainsaw, I don't know if that's, like, the vibe I was kind of envisioning for, like, a Resident Evil game, but...
I could get about that.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be good. I think the team is quite solid, so...
Yeah, yeah. Now, one I'm very excited for, obviously. And yeah, just to like see the continuation of the story, like where it goes from here as well. I'm intrigued by it. And I thought the villain, we don't know much about the villain, right? Like he doesn't have any sort of connection
not
with like past
of.
Games or no. Yeah.
He could, but
he
don't, yeah.
looks interesting.
He's new.
And I'm sure he won't be like the only villain. I reckon they're going to kind of have a few in there. All right, Brody, I'm going to come your way then, talking about the next game, because I know this was your prediction and a game you're very excited for, but that is Control Resonant, as we now know it's called. We saw a trailer for that, really cool presentation for this game as well. Like it's the way they kind of introduced it on stage first before cutting to the trailer was really quite cool. But yeah. I think you've caught up on the trailer for Control Resonant. What did you make of the trailer? What's your sort of understanding of where the story is going?
Yeah,
and where your excitement level's at?
Look, because I've only had a real quick look and I can't really remember how Control ended. I don't really know much about where the story might be going. Looking at James's roundup, it looks as though obviously you're following Jesse this time, Jesse's brother, which I cannot remember his name for the life of me. But
Dylan.
Dylan, that's him.
Yeah.
And you're obviously looking for Jesse for whatever reason. So obviously interesting to see what that's going to sort of mean. I think we're venturing beyond the Bureau, like it's set in Manhattan or something like that. Looks to be like there's like melee combat. I don't remember that being in the first one. Am I wrong?
She had a shockwave thing.
Yeah, I know she had like kinetic and stuff, but I didn't think there was like big sledgehammers and shit like he's using here.
Yeah, so the VGC, I think, saw this before it was revealed, and they were, like, kind of stressed, too, that this isn't Control 2, per se. It is taking place around the same time as the original game.
Right, so it's,
interesting.
So I don't know what that means, but, yeah, you're playing as Dylan, and he is... They're calling it an action-adventure RPG. They're not calling it a shooter like Control was.
I'm expecting then maybe story-wise he's, like, in, like, his vegetative state the whole time, and maybe all this shit is happening in his head, possibly, because that would explain, like, the weirdness of it all. And, like, there's Polaris is involved clearly because we see that at the end and everything, so... Interesting. Looks very cool. Like I'm always excited for a Remedy game. Like the art direction and like some of these shots in this trailer are so fucking cool. Like I just love like these liminal spaces and like these like real redded out shots with like bodies floating in the air. Like it's exactly my fucking vibe. I am just curious as to what sort of game it might end up being. Like because I don't want it to stray too far away from what Control was. I know that obviously had budgetary considerations in sort of how it was designed, as we've spoken about. Like, it was designed cleverly in terms of, like, you know, the service weapon being this multi-tool that sort of is every weapon, like, which sort of, like, kept the gameplay loop lean without being too complicated. Like, this one kind of looks like it might complicate things a little. Like, it almost gives, like, roguelike vibes, honestly, like, from some of the bits at the end of the trailer, which obviously I don't think I'd be all about. But at the end of the day, I kind of trust... Remedy to, you know, treat this the way it should be treated and like maybe not make it more like a Alan Wake American Nightmare sort of thing. But yeah, I'm definitely keen to see what this sort of takes shape and looks like next year.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, I was really impressed by this trailer. I am kind of confused about the story, mostly because my memory of Control is not great. Because she was going to the Bureau to try and find him, right?
Yeah.
That was the sort of like core motivation of the game. But I can't remember, does she actually find him?
Yeah.
Like, does he have much of a role in the game?
He looks different in Control 1.
Yeah, I can see myself having to replay Control before I dive into this.
My thing about this is, like, I feel like Control 1, what I liked about that game was, like, the vibe, like, the mood of that, like, big, open, like, Rootless. Space.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and that building that's, like, bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, and just, like, picking up all the files and learning about the research, and then the combat was, like, a psychic shooter, right? Like, there's just so many things in there that weren't really, like, around, like, in other games at that point. Whereas now the pivot to, like, more melee-based combat, and yes, sure, there's going to be manipulation of, like, elements and stuff, but I don't... That becomes significantly less interesting to me as a game. Like, yes, I think the Remedy's, like, narrative and visual flair will probably pull that over the line for me, but I think, as a, like, mechanically speaking, that doesn't immediately appeal to me, if that... You know,
yeah, I get that it maybe isn't as distinctive, and that maybe holds it back a little bit. But I must admit, like, when seeing him, like, kind of reform the swords, like, into a sledgehammer as he's, like, about to kind of launch some combat, that got me excited. Like, it does something for me.
I think it's just like the everything I loved about Control, like the environment, the design, and the combat, like that's all gone now. Like, and the story is probably still there. So that's why I'm hesitant.
I don't reckon
I'm
not it will be gone.
I hope so. Like, I hope it's not just what will become a Souls-like. I'm sure it's not going to be a Souls-like, but I just feel like there is so many third-person action RPGs now. That are melee focused. Yeah. It makes me a bit weary. And especially, like, Remedy wants a hit. That's, like, something that is very successful with, like, a lot of people. Like, I can't help but feel a little bit cynical about it all. But I'm happy to be proven wrong. So
I'm kind of glad it's not Control 2 in that regard, like, entitled that way, and that kind of distances, because they do need people to kind of come in. And so if it continues the story for fans, but is otherwise a reasonable jump in point, I'll be pretty pleased with that. Purely because they need it. But I've got a lot of faith that the kind of world as well is going to feel very Remedy. Like, even the shots that you got of, like, the streets kind of, like, flipping upside down, like, kind of Inception style and stuff. I was like, this feels very Remedy. And even, like, with Alan Wake 2, like, Control and Alan Wake 2 are my major sort of Remedy touch points. That still felt very them when they were kind of able to get a bit more kind of psychedelic or cerebral, I guess. I don't know what the exact word is. But otherwise it was just like kind of Northwestern sort of American town, right? So yeah, I reckon they can kind of apply their Remedy hallmarks to any sort of setting. And I think it'd be cool to see them do that on the streets of Manhattan. We move on to the next announcement? A Tomb Raider game was announced from Crystal Dynamics, a brand new game called Catalyst, coming in 2027. That wasn't it, though. They also announced a remake of the original game, Legacy of Atlantis, coming at 2026. So I guess the notable thing is here is kind of forget what you know about, like, your kind of Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider trilogy. This is kind of back to the original character and continuing her story. Is that a fair summation, James?
I don't know. I think so. Although now that you've asked me that and I've given it at least two thoughts, I do like the way that the trailer for Catalyst kind of, the trailer for Atlantis talks about, like, her previous adventure. Like, obviously, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It obviously is the same timeline as the original Tomb Raider games.
Yeah.
So that is cool. It's just nuts to me that, you know, Marvel's Avengers came out in what, like, 2020?
God, yeah, almost forgot.
And I know Crystal Dynamics has definitely been thrown around a lot. Like, they obviously got fucked around by Perfect Dark and stuff. But to think, like, it's taken them 7 years to get this Tomb Raider game out, if it does come out in 2027, is wild.
Well, the remake of the original game is next year.
Yes, but that's so not, a little not sooner. Leads on that.
That's not that. So that's not
no,
them, though,
true. Wild Hog kind of making that in partnership with them, I think, something like that.
Yeah. But cool. I think like the first game, if you go back to it, it is incredibly hard to play. Even though I think we've had a remake of it. It got remade as Anniversary when Legend came out. When was that? A while ago. But even so, it's still those games still, even with the remake, are, I mean, I can play them, but I think a lot of modern audience probably couldn't.
I would struggle. Yeah. Yeah. I think I tried to once upon a time.
I think like it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I think it's cool to take a bit of a different take on it. I imagine they won't like totally abandon what worked in like the more recent trilogy of games that they made. And they'll kind of find ways to bring elements of that sort of into this kind of reimagining, I suppose. Which excites me because I really love those three games. I don't want them to differ too much from that. But Brody, did you watch these trailers? What did you make of the two of them?
Yeah, look, I've just scrubbed through them briefly. I'd say I'm a more recent, maybe similar to yourself, I'm a more recent fan of Tomb Raider. Like, I sort of got on with the reboot trilogy and so forth. I'll give Catalyst a try. I'll even try Legacy of Atlantis just because I don't have that touchstone for the originals. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see. And like, it seems like it goes to some pretty strange places, like there's dinosaurs involved and things like that. So,
we know you're a big dinosaur fan.
I love Deathgrounds. Is that out yet? Please give me an update, team, if you're listening. I guess I'll have a passing interest in this. I do feel like the story from, like, say, the Rise trilogy, I feel like that met a satisfactory conclusion. So it probably is around the right time to be rebooting the franchise. And hard to say whether this will maybe be in line with what Amazon's putting together, maybe, but I will say
it was a little jarring, like, given kind of the gritty sort of direction they were trying to take, like that more recent trilogy, and obviously, like, aesthetically, she kind of looked very different as well. Seeing her back in, like, the kind of classic blue singlet with the holsters and the short shorts and stuff, like, that was a little bit jarring. But I think, like, if you're remaking it, you can't. Well, yeah. But wasn't it also in Catalyst as well?
I mean,
the same similar kind of character model?
Her Catalyst design looks like a mix to me of, like, the survival tomb, like, Lara. Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
I feel like it's not.
She doesn't have, like, a little crop or anything like that. She's got a full singlet, which is pretty in keeping with 2013, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I want to spend the time analyzing things like this, but it's definitely like a deeper cut on the top in the Atlantis game.
And she appears to be wearing full pant. It looks like full pant.
Yeah, and that was unheard of back in the day. So
I've heard of it in the 90s. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It does look like they've made a concerted effort to like show an older sort of character in Catalyst that has had kind of not a lifetime but plenty of adventures between Legacy of Atlantis and Catalyst. So that how that then kind of plays into the story, I'm interested to see what comes of it. But given we don't have like Uncharted games anymore, granted I really enjoyed Indiana Jones last year, but I love this kind of style of game, and obviously it was Tomb Raider that really kind of, you know, defined the sort of genre, I suppose. Maybe some credit to the Indiana Jones movies, but yeah, I'm excited for these two. Okay, we've still got a few more games I'm eager to get through. Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic was also announced, a brand new single-player action role-playing game from the famed game creator Casey Hudson, now at new studio Arkanaut Studios. Brody, do you reckon that they can deliver this kind of long-hoped-for game?
I sure hope so. Again, not really a series that I have any affinity for. Like, I was late to BioWare in that sense. Mm. Go on, James, sir.
No, I think, like, if you like Mass Effect, you have a good reason to be excited for this. I mean...
Yeah, and like, I feel like... Because Casey, he sort of bounced around a bit, hasn't he? And he sort of has tried to start up some things and get some games going, but they haven't really eventuated, and so now...
Yeah, I will, like, put a bit of a wet blanket on this, and I think maybe this is a Star Wars thing. This studio didn't open until July this year. So yeah. I don't think this game is
close
in any way, in any sense of the word.
2030.
Yeah, like, am I going to be dead? I don't know. It's like, what, as Shannon said,
apparently
living till then. So,
yeah, like, apparently there's like a apparently there's a point to be living until then. You've got this to look forward to. Apparently they've been listing like a bunch of jobs at the studio. So it almost seems like this is, hey, look what we're making, and all they've really done is like produce a cinematic trailer. Like, come and join us and go on this journey with us. But as like a tone setter, I think this looks really cool. I can't say I have much connection to the series other than I played some of the MMO, which I think was just the Old Republic. Getting them all confused. I mean, based on my experience with that, though, excited for this. And I get quite different things. So I'm pleased as well that Casey Hudson, given the kind of history and experience that he's had, and obviously kind of like a famed sort of name within the industry, is attached to this as well. I think that's a sign that it's headed in the right sort of direction as well. But yeah, as you said, James, could be a fair while away. Speaking of Star Wars, though, it was not the only game announced, with Galactic Racer also revealed from Fuse Studios, the home of many ex-Criterion devs. Brody, I'm coming straight back to you on this one. What would be your hopes for a bunch of ex-Burnout devs making a pod racing game?
Yeah. I kind of wish they'd remake Burnout 3 instead, but that's okay. That's okay. Like, if this gives me Takedown vibes a little bit. Like, I reckon. It's pacey. It's pretty combative. It's obviously like Star Wars is just such a, I don't know, I'm so burnt out on Star Wars, I think. So like, I'm not excited from that angle. And I wasn't really big on Star Wars Racer as it was. So like, it's not something that I really care about, but the fact that it's, you know, ex-Burnout devs, and, you know, like, ex-Burnout devs have put out some cool stuff. Like, I think the Dangerous games that they've been attached to, like at various other studios, have been good. Obviously very different, but like, I think they're a very talented bunch of people. So, I'll give it a look. I'll keep an eye on it. If it does prove to be more of a Burnout like than, you know, it could be, then yeah, I'll certainly have a look.
Yeah. I think it kind of like, there's some kind of fun touch points on this too, given it's kind of, operating outside of the lore and this like ragtag sort of pod racing circuit and stuff like that. Like that is a lot of fun for me, but granted, I am probably one of the biggest Star Wars fans on the team. Genuine question though, when it says it's a runs-based racing game, like what does it mean by runs-based?
It's probably an extraction shooter or some shit. An extraction racer. You go out and
run and collect scrap. I'm not clear on what that means. I wasn't sure if it was like an A to B, like rather than a circuit sort of race, or like what that was, but... Yeah, let us know. Let us know if you're listening in and that makes sense to you. It doesn't make much sense to me. I'm just all in with pod racing. Okay, last kind of big announcement before I throw it over to you two to just kind of shout out what jumped out to you. The developers of Baldur's Gate 3, Larian Studios, also announced their biggest game yet, Divinity. So kind of returning back to their own fantasy series. And it's obviously revealed the secret as well behind that mysterious statue that we've been talking about all week. That's what this was. So we got like a pretty slick looking cinematic story trailer for this. Otherwise, not a huge amount of details. But James, Divinity, based on what you've seen and what you know, does it interest you?
yeah, it does. They didn't announce a date or anything for this, did they? Like, even a year?
I don't think so. Yeah. No.
It's hard to be excited. I feel like it's very far away as well when you think about how long ago Baldur's Gate came out, right? That being said, like, Baldur's Gate 3, what they did with that game, I am keen to see what they can do in a universe where they don't really need to play by anyone else's rules. Like, Divinity is their world. And so they can really like kind of play in that space in a different way. I think I believe them, like when they say it's going to be their biggest and most in-depth game. I don't know if I want a game that big, to be honest. Although I played Baldur's Gate and was just happy with what I saw, right? Like, so I guess I don't have to experience it all. But yeah, looks good. I think that teaser is really cool. I really liked it. I liked how violent it was.
Yeah,
in a weird way. But yeah, like, I thought it was a pretty solid teaser. But I think it's like Witcher 4 vibes, where it's going to be a long time away.
Yeah,
and maybe if it's going into early access again, like, I'm just not interested in that. Like, I would, because I've got a feeling that might be what they do. I would rather wait, and that means I'm waiting even longer. So.
Yeah. I do, yeah, I think I do sort of prefer the confidence to just kind of put it out, particularly when, like, you've got a proven track record of it. Like, yeah, we spoke before about Hades 2 being in early access, kind of feeling a bit weird. Yeah, it'd be nice for them to just drop it. But like you said, it's probably going to be some distance away. Look, I've got no real connection to Divinity, and I can't say I played a huge amount of Baldur's Gate either. But this will stay on my radar, and I'm interested to see sort of how it develops. I feel like we're going to arrive at a point where a bunch of like heavy hitting fantasy RPGs like all land at once. Like, we've got The Witcher 4, obviously, we've got this, we've got Elder Scrolls 6. Like, I wonder how quickly or like how soon they're all going to kind of come out near each other. Mm. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure for their sake, they're hoping they can spread out, but I wonder what will eventuate. It could be a banger of a year if they all land at the same sort of time. Brody, over to you. Did this game do anything for you, or is there any other games that announced today that you wanted to give a shout out?
Like you, I'll probably keep an eye on Divinity. Like, it's good that I think they seem to be like soft rebooting it and maybe like trying to, I guess, build it from the ground up again. Like, that's exciting for me, like, because I don't really want to have to. Sorry, I've just read one of James's things in this roundup. How good is Lily Ellen's latest album? It's really good. I like it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lily Ellen.
Yeah.
Anyway, before I get to some of the games I'm interested in from this, I'll give a special shout out to the dumbest fucking game name out of any of these that I've seen so far, which is Wings of Thief. I think that's just dreadful. Ace Combat. So, well done. I mean, they did well with Fires of Rubicon, but now they've shit the bed there. So, okay. What have we got? Saros still looks cool. Keen for that, but won't bother touching on that. I liked the new, I don't know how to say it, Ontos, the new game from the Soma devs. That looks really cool.
But can we just quickly talk about that? I feel like there's too many people like in that game already. Like, I want just
a lot of those games are like so good when it's, well, yeah, we probably won't get time to talk about it this week, but like Routine, like that is, I feel like that's quite good because you're so isolated, and that's like the point of these games.
Yes, like and I feel like it's such a big part of what made like Amnesia and Soma so good, and I kind of worry that this is an opposite of that. But yeah, anyway, keep going. Yeah.
The two that really stood out to me, and like, I don't know why it is necessarily, but, I can't remember what it was called. It's the one where you play like the border collie herding.
Oh yeah.
The free shepherd.
Yeah.
Yeah. As someone who obviously, I know it's set in probably some nondescript post-apocalyptic world, quote unquote, but it looks very, England countryside. And obviously having gone there this year, like it feels rather nostalgic and it looks really nice. So, yeah, and it just looks
it's
like one of
got
those.
A playable border collie in it, which immediately meant I was sending this trailer through to my fiance going, hey, look, it's a game for you.
Exactly. And like, I haven't, you know, any game where you play as a dog, like A Dog's Life on the PlayStation 2 included, they're bangers. So yeah, so that one will be on my radar. It seems like the cool kind of explorative, experiential, almost, it kind of reminds me of like even Rhyme, if anyone remembers that game from the Tequila Softworks or whoever they were. Something like that. Very.
There's more to it that meets the eye as well, because it, like, at first I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It's like a cozy game. You're herding sheep.
And then
sheep.
It goes sci-fi as fuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I think like the dog kind of takes on a bit of a quest to like save the world from some impending disaster or something
good for
like
him.
That. So,
border collie's
yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, and then the other one that jumped out at me was Bradley the Badger. As a big fan of like 3D platformers, like this jumps out
looks
at me.
Looks good, I reckon.
Yeah. Being really cool,
Evan like Peters.
And I love Evan Peters. Like he's I won't say he's underrated. I feel like he's rated probably about right, but yeah, good for Evan Peters. So yeah, Bradley the Badger will be one that I keep on my radar.
I reckon, I know you've kind of been busy catching up today as well. I reckon you should check out Stupid Never Dies. Yeah, it's kind of like got a bit of a pop punk sort of flair to it.
I did see the trailer.
That looks quite interesting. Yeah. I don't know if it was like the best trailer for it. Like it had this kind of musical number at the start, which was kind of, I think just labored the point a little bit much. But once it got to the gameplay, that was when it started getting real compelling. Style. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Look, whilst I'm rambling on, I'll shout out a couple. The one we've not really given a look in, but it did close out the show. It was kind of like pitched as quite a heavy hitter, was Highguard, which comes from, I'm really blanking again on the name of the studio, but a bunch of like ex-Respawn devs that worked on Titanfall and Apex Legends at their new studio developing what they've kind of pitched as like sort of a reinvention of the first person shooter genre. And looking at the trailer, it seems to be borrowing from things like kind of hero shooters, but tower defense as well. I think I want to try and remember how they described it. Looks a like PvP raid shooter is how they're describing it. It's out very soon in January, so very deep in development, and it is going to be free to play as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that it just looks quite different, and given, I guess like it does. It looks,
no, it just looks like Godfall, but with like
it's like fantasy flourished. Apex.
Flourishes of Immortals of Avium. Like I don't.
I mean, I
don't,
yeah, it and I, like some like, Valorant in there as well. Like it does look just like just an amalgamation of a ton of other things, but that's fair.
Yeah, so that's but, yeah. I just think we're trying to codify magic, and it's like not going to work. Like I just think we need to like really think about. And I also have so much not anger, but like I just animosity towards this game because I don't think it's a show closer, like in any sense of the word. And respect to the devs, and like it. I will admit. I do think the gameplay does look interesting, but I just don't see this lasting very long.
In fairness to Jeff, like I know it is a bit weird that like usually show openers, show closers, like your biggest ton of games, but he does tend to pick his games quite well. And it's like games that kind of get a look in or a big moment in his show tend to kind of pan out and be quite impressive. And he does go and travel to studios and play a lot of these games, right? Which isn't to say, well, his opinion counts for everything, but that does fill me with a little bit of optimism, coinciding with that, like the fact that it's ex-Apex Titanfall devs, which I'm two games I absolutely love. I was very skeptical about Apex Legends when it was first announced, but was pleasantly surprised and played hundreds of hours of that game. So
agree, but it was a very different time. When
was a different time,
like at the same time, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of pitched as sort of like their take on the battle royale genre and carried across like hero shooter elements and stuff like that. And what a winning combination that ended up being. So yeah, I think this excites me. It'll probably be a day one jump in for me. I don't know if there was anything else I wanted to call out though. So James, I'll throw to you. Was there any other announcements we've not touched on?
I think Pragmata looks really good. I know that you guys are like, oh, James likes the Capcom game. But, like, I genuinely
No, I'm with
think,
you on Pragmata.
Like,
I think it looks sick.
In a world where, like, even Capcom themselves are, like, churning out remakes and sequels and stuff, like, I think it is really nice to see something new and novel. And it's really cool to hear that everyone who's playing it is really enjoying it too. So I'm, like, happy with that.
I think the combat sounds interesting. Every time I've heard about the combat, it seems quite unique. You've got to trace patterns or something before you can disable an enemy.
It's kind of like you have to like put in like commands on the D-pad,
like stratagems like almost.
Like, yeah, like yeah. You're like texting Hell somebody dimes-esque. Before you can actually do damage and stuff. And apparently, like it just works really well, and you can get into like a really cool flow. And it's meant to be quite fun. There is a demo. It's only on PC though, and I'm just not interested in that.
Is that out now? I missed that.
Yeah. So it's on console later, the demo, but you can play it now on PC. And obviously, it's out in April, which is like not too far away.
Maybe I'll give that an install and report back.
On the other side of things, like I think Mega Man coming back is really cool, Brody. Like I'm sorry that the Mega Man.
I'm down
so
for
much,
Mega Man to come back. I just don't think that game looks very good. I'm sorry.
I thought Do you know what? I thought this was a Banjo reveal at first because they were talking about like character coming back. I think it looks good. I don't know. Like, I think to do another one, I think Mega Man, there's nothing really like Mega Man. I think in a world where difficult platformers is such a commodity now, I think it's like high time for Mega Man to come back, personally.
Mm.
I
forgot to shout out as well The Forest 3. That it was the way we had no idea what the hell was happening in that trailer. And then we just saw like the big three and we were like, oh my God, is this Half-Life? But then it was The Forest 3, which struck us as being a bit odd because I was expecting a Sons of the Forest console announcement before we got the next Forest game. And it is, as we discussed, James, like very different kind of stylistically to the previous Forest games. It's like, okay, you crash land on some foreign location and fight for survival in the same way, except this time it's a spaceship crashing on like an alien planet. So yeah, interesting to see what that turns out to be. For my sake, given I love the co-op and the friends I was playing with were on consoles, I hope it does make the jump over the console. But yeah, shout out to The Forest 3 as well.
I hated that J.J. Abrams game. I think that is just such a...
Which one was that? Remind me.
Four Loop.
Awful.
Like, I just think, like, the big thing is, like, when you die, you come back. And I'm like, that's like every fucking game. Like, it's not... Like, I don't... Conceptually, it just does not speak to me at all. And I also think...
Yeah, it's like someone, like, read about a video game. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to make one of those. That sounds
Yeah,
cool.
And it's like, cool, yeah. Like, just stay in your lane, mate. But Coven of the Chicken Foot looks really fucking cool. I think it's meant to be some, I think it's ex Naughty Dog people, but,
Bruce Straley. I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah. I think just a really cool art direction. I think a really cool concept. I don't know, like, if it's going to be this massive game or anything like that, but I think that the vibe of that game is like immaculate. I'm really keen to like kind of jump into that personally.
Yeah. I think I was a bit distracted as this one was getting announced, but I was reading about it later and didn't realize Bruce was attached, who's that, which is really cool, like co-director, or I think game director of the first Last of Us game, and maybe Uncharted 2 before that. But yeah, like this whole idea that this kind of witch is like kind of packed up like after a life of adventuring and stuff like that, and that the companion that's with you kind of like learns off you and stuff like that and kind of molds to how you engage with the world. I thought it was really a neat premise as well. So yeah, another one that's firmly on my radar. All in all, a pretty good
Street Fighter movie also looks incredible. I think it looks fucking stupid, but it looks so good. Like, I love that they're just going with it. Like, it doesn't have to be serious. Like, Guile can have his weird triangle hair, like, and he's played by Cody Rhodes. Like, I just think it's like really, really, really cool.
Yeah, I think you have to lean in. And Mortal Kombat, I think, benefited from doing the same, right? So,
I think, that looks like a 50 great
50 Cent's
movie.
Hairline is crazy. Like, it's so, it's so good. Like, it's I love it. And, like, I don't care what anyone says, but I am all in for, like, David Desmalchian as Bison. Like, I think he's gonna crush it. He's gonna be so good.
Yeah, it is an interesting cast. And I know, like, you know, they're doing their press bit and stuff as well, but they did seem to be having a ton of fun up on stage and enjoying each other's company, which maybe bodes well too. Alrighty. Well, I think that's kind of about it then for the Game Awards for another year. No doubt we'll kind of have plenty more to talk about as we learn more about these games. But for now, let's talk about a rapid fire question. And James, I'm looping you in here because you posted in our group chat earlier today, upset that Deus Ex Remastered is no longer coming out in February, with further updates to come at the right time. My rapid fire question to you both is, do you still have hope that this game is going to be what you want it to be?
I don't hope for anything, so...
okay.
I'm sure it'll be exactly what I hope. go, James.
I do. I think it's great that they're listening. Like, I was kind of worried they were just going to, like, throw caution to the wind and just release it, and then, like, what is probably my favorite game ever. I've made peace with that now. It is my favorite game ever. People pick it up and they're like, oh, what's this? So shit. Like, I think it is really good. I think that I've got a feeling maybe they're just going to throw in old style graphics that have been slightly touched up as well as like the new style. But that's good. I think that's fine.
So, I'll admit, you know, I didn't pay attention to this at all. Like, what prompted the delay was like negative feedback from playtesters.
They haven't really said. I think if you read between the lines, they're like, based on your feedback, like we've thought we'd push it back. But I assume also pre-orders might be low or something.
Right.
So it is. It just felt like it was coming out on my birthday, and it looked like shit. Yeah. It's my favorite game ever. So like, I feel like there's something in the stars for me on this day today. When that was announced. So yes, it will be good. I think it's going to be really good. And
it's very prophetic. I like that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's play What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show with the previous week's winner is part of a Wikipedia page where the previous... Hang on. What am I doing? I'm getting this all wrong. What the Wiki is the Press Start podcast game show with the previous week's winner is part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves a couple of points. As last week's winner, Brody, is in the hosting chair today. I think you drew level with James last time, but he just edged out ahead with the trivia question,
I don't know.
Am I remembering that? No?
You're the judge.
Anyhow, James is currently in the lead on 37 points. Brody, you're in second on 36. I'm in third on 34. And Shannon in fourth on 27. Harry bringing up the rear on 8. So, Brody, I hope for my sake, as well as your own, you've kind of skewed these my way and try and keep us in the hunt.
Why don't we just play a fair game?
That I have skewed it, Ewan. I don't know that I have.
I don't know if you heard, but Fair Games has been cancelled. James, it's not happening. So,
has it actually?
Out with the fairness.
Has it?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Not officially.
Speaking of prophetic. All right. Game number one. The plot is set in a fictional history of real-world events and follows the millennia-old struggle between the assassins, who fight to preserve peace and free will, and the Templars, who desire peace through control. There's so many of them, I don't care that I've given that to you early. I don't care. Framing story is set in the 21st century and depict... Oh, okay, so that's the fucking real world shit. No one cares. Let's move on. unlike previous games, gameplay elements focus more on the ship-based exploration.
Ewan. Is this Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag?
Well done, Ewan. It is indeed.
Oh, thank God. There was a moment. It could have been whatever followed on from that. Rogue.
No one remembers Rogue.
First, okay.
Well done, Ewan.
Phew.
One point. Yeah.
Anyway. When are we getting a remaster? I thought that was going to be announced today, actually.
I think Ubisoft's just trying to like stay open at this point. Yeah, Prince of Persia remake. Yeah. Where's that?
Yeah,
true. All right.
You're good and evil.
Where to start reading this one? The developer stated that the studio was working with somebody and its cloud gaming technology to take on the challenge of creating a very unique, immersive, and totally new style of game, or rather a new form of media. In November, approximately 2.5 minutes of alleged gameplay footage leaked online. It depicted a character from a third-person perspective, visually resembling somebody walking through dark corridors with a flashlight. The game was officially revealed by Blank and James.
Oh, no.
Is it OD?
It is OD. Well done, James.
He's fended off the clean sweep.
Unfortunately, he has. All right. James is giving himself a round of applause. Well done, James.
Yeah. if you're an audio listener, that's exactly what's happening.
one point each. This is the tiebreaker. So here we go. Where to start reading here? Okay. I'll go here. And no, I won't. All right. In 2015, the developer stated that this game would be a first-person science fiction game similar to a different series. Middle-earth, Shadow of Mordor, its nemesis system was cited as one of the game's inspirations. Blank added that the game would be a more challenging experience than their two previous games. In January 2022, Jason Schreier of Bloomberg News reported that the game had fallen into development hell, with Blank's style of workplace leading to employee burnout. In December 2022, the game was revealed with an announcement trailer. This game is scheduled to release on PlayStation 5, Ewan? Xbox. Ewan?
Oh, is this Judas?
It is Judas. Well done, Ewan.
No!
Let's go.
The theme well,
I was, felt like I was
the
just
theme was they're all games I thought was going to be at the Game Awards, but they weren't.
Yeah, so. Well, that's what I was starting to clue into as well.
Yeah.
Well, Brody, my trivia question has the same theme, but besides for you. Are you ready?
Oh, okay. So I don't get categories. It's just whatever it is. All right.
Oh, okay. I'll give you. Okay,
I also love that he didn't give me any time to celebrate that win. And no, because we don't quickly moved into trivia.
Anyway, go on. Celebrate, Ewan. Go on.
Yes. So that's 36 points. Yeah, even with Brody in second place now, I needed that. But who knows? He might get a point here. Yeah.
Who knows? Okay. So your categories are Half-Life, Half-Life 2, or Half-Life Alyx.
Oh
shit!
These are like I think they're all quite easy because I kind of just looked up Wikipedia and picked some. So
I don't know what game I feel most confident about, to be honest. Let's go Half-Life 1.
Half-Life 1, interesting choice.
I'm
not
going to be.
I really feel like I should have gone Half-Life 2, honestly. But
okay. Are you ready?
Sure.
Waiting with bated breath.
I regret this.
What is the name of the alien world that Gordon is teleported to in Half-Life?
Isn't it, I think there's a shortened version of it. I think isn't it just Zen? Like X-E-N?
It is, Brody. Congratulations.
Yes. What?
You get the point. Wow, well done. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Okay. So now we are, 36 for Ewan? 37 for me, 38 for James. Wow. Yep. What a climax to the year.
I wonder, we might have like two more episodes left in the year. We need to give ourselves some time off around Christmas. So,
James and I have positioned ourselves beautifully here.
All to play for. Yeah. We're going to come down to final decider. We might need to think about how we settle it once and for all. That was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Quick shout out as well. You can now find us, and we've been doing video on YouTube for a wee while now, but there's also a video on Spotify now too, should that be your style. Otherwise, follow us at press.au and visit us at the website at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody. Oh, wow. I have lost light very quickly. I'm sorry, everyone.
It's gotten dark in us.
Jesus. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And last but not least, it was James.
Yes. You can find me on @James on Twitter, @ATJMZ, or on Blue Sky.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxborough. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.